Do you remember we left off in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14? Jesus is on a mountaintop. Verse 23, when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. He's praying alone there on a mountaintop. And according to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, he can see the disciples out on the lake. He sent them away. He didn't just ask them to leave. The Bible says this, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to go into a ship. To constrain means literally to command them, to have them do it under order and do it now. Immediately, I order you, I constrain you, I command you, get into the ship and get to the other side. Why the hurry? Why does he want the disciples away? Because the multitudes, there were well over 10,000 that he fed, they wanted to make him king. So he sends his disciples off because he doesn't want them to even get that idea. And he sends the people away. He waits and sends them on their way. And then he goes up into a mountain to pray alone. Remember, keep this in mind. He is now focusing mainly on his disciples. For the rest of his ministry, the main focus becomes those 12. One of them not even a believer. But he will focus on them mainly to prepare them for his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension to be with his Father. They need to be ready. They're going to carry the gospel into the whole world. So he sends them off into a ship out across the lake. They're going to go across. Well, the widest point of this lake, which is near where they are, is about 7 miles across. So they've got a right around a 7-mile trip. Now, he sends them away, the Bible says, and he went up into a mountain, Jesus did, apart, alone, to pray. And he, when the evening was come, he was there on that mountain, alone, praying. But the ship with the disciples in it was now in the midst of the sea, about in the middle of the sea, about 3.5 miles out, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. The wind and the waves weren't allowing them to get anywhere. And in the fourth watch of the night. Now wait a minute. Jesus, at around 3 p.m, had them sit down. They're going to do him. He's going to do a miracle. He's going to feed over 10,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So let's just pretend. I'm going to make up sometimes. Now this is not in the Bible. I'm going to make this up. You understand the difference? When I make it up, it's not important. Got it? Write that down. I'll wait. Let's just pretend it took about 2 hours to eat. If they started around 3 p.m, they should have been done eating and cleaning up. Oh, let's say around 5-ish. Okay, is that okay? You have a problem with that so far? And so then, Jesus immediately had the disciples get into a boat to head to the other side. They get a 7-mile trip. So he says, go down. They're commanded now, get in the boat and go to the other side. I'll meet you there. So that was around, let's say between 5, 5:30, even if you want 6 o'clock. I don't know, it's getting late, true, but we could push that to 6. Let's just say they got in the boat at 6, and they started heading across the water. Now Jesus is going to send the others away, make sure the multitudes get headed on toward home, and then he heads up into the mountain. Let's just pretend maybe it took him another hour after that to get the multitudes all packed up and make sure everybody's off safely. So let's just say around 7-ish, Jesus heads up to the top of the mountain. So he begins to pray, maybe, let's say 7:30, because he's going to walk up there. It's not a rugged climb, but it's a walk. So it's 7:30 or so in the evening, and Jesus is praying. The disciples have been now on the water for an hour and a half when Jesus begins his prayer, and Jesus prayed all night. The Bible says that the ship was now only in the middle of the lake, around 3.5 miles away from shore, both sides. And they were tossed with the waves, and the wind was blowing so hard they couldn't get anywhere. Now think, they've been out there for hours. How many hours? Well, the Bible says the fourth watch of the night. Romans broke the watches into 4 watches, or the times, so they could set guards. And they would start, their day ended at 6 at night. A little different than ours. We end at midnight. They ended at 6. So they began their watches at 6 in the evening, and their watches were every 3 hours. Now, this is the fourth watch. So let's just put that in America. Sometime between 3 and 6 in the morning is when Jesus went walking out there. How far had they gotten by about 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning? They had gotten halfway. They had gone 3.5 miles. How many hours have they been out there? What did we decide around 6-ish? 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4. They've been going a good 9 to 10 hours rowing, and they've only gotten 3.5 miles. They haven't gotten very far. They're in the middle of the lake. They don't think they're going to make it. They can't go forward. They are trying to get to the other side. It was a command. They're trying to get to the other side and they can't go. They're thinking they're going to sink. They're exhausted. They've been going for well over 8 hours and they've been working hard. They're exhausted. They're getting nowhere. They're thinking, we're going to go down. We're in trouble. And they're afraid. Now, according to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, Jesus from the mountain, even though it's dark, he can see them. And so he still stays and prays all night, watching them struggle. Now, you still like Jesus? I hope so. He's watching them. They are struggling. They are, for all they're worth, now listen, they're at the point now of exhaustion. They're worn out. They've been going all night since 7, and they're tired, and they are getting nowhere. They're not going to make it. It's not going to happen. Jesus sent them out there on purpose. Remember what's going on. He is focusing, concentrating his ministry now on these 12. They need to grow up. They need to be prepared. They need to learn. They need to understand. They've got a calling and an assignment, and Jesus will be leaving to go back to the Father, and they need to be ready. Would Jesus send you into knowing there's going to be a storm? Would he send John out there on the water anyway? Yes, he would. Some of you are right in the middle of a storm and you're feeling the same way. You are exhausted because you've been trying to do what God said. You're working in it, but you can't. You're just getting nowhere. It's like you're starting to back up. You're thinking, we're going to go down this little bitty boat. Now, get a picture of the boat. This is not the Queen Mary. This is a little barky thing. If I may use that high expression for those intellectuals. This is a little boat. If you put Jesus and his 12 in there, this thing is packed. You couldn't take much food. These boats are not that large. So don't get this picture of a cabin cruiser when you think about Jesus sleeping in the back while he's downstairs and there's the restroom and the living room and then there's the donut shop. No, no, no. This is a little boat and it is being shoved around by the waves and the wind. And water is, when you have high waves, you're taking water inside. And these, some are expert fishermen and they're exhausted and they know they're in trouble. God allowed the storm. The storm in your life right today. Don't be so shocked. God has allowed it. When I was younger, I let that slip and you. My son, Josh, just a little thing. I coached Pop Warner football. Have you ever heard of it? They wear full equipment, helmets, they're great. But you see, he was playing in the Pee Wee League because of his age and weight. And the weight, you weren't allowed to let anybody play over 65 pounds. He was in the Pee Wee League, because I think he was 8 years old or 9. And it's fun to watch them. They got full equipment on, and in practice they'll say, okay, hit each other. And they'll hit, and there's no noise. These guys, they're lightweights. And I mean, it's great to watch. They hit. You go, come on, hit him. I did, Dad. I mean, Coach, I hit him. Well, hit him hard. Okay, boom, nothing, no noise. It's great. And you send these 11. It's like Jesus and his disciples. You stand on the sideline here, and you send these little guys out there. Now, they've been practicing. They've got their basics, their fundamentals. They're 8 years old, 9 years old. They don't quite have a grasp of the game. Know what I mean? But they're out there, and they're doing what you tell them to do and what you've told them to do. And we were playing a team at one time. It just so happened they got the pick of the litter. And every one of their guys and one girl were 65 pounds. I mean, they all were at the limit. And you got these guys out here soaking wet with full equipment on, and they're bragging that they're 41 pounds. We got 41 dudes big. Get them. He's in the 40s, man. 45, you're going to be it. You'll be our entire line. And they go out there, and I got Josh playing defensive end. Not because he's fast, but because he stays. If you've ever met my son, you can't rile him. Nothing excites him. He doesn't panic. I want him to panic at times, and he won't. So I put him out there because I know he's not going to panic no matter what happens. And there's this big old kid, 65 pounds worth of full equipment, and just running him over. They are running him over. And the whole team is being run over. And you know what I could have done at 210? I could have run on out there and said, I'll take this spot, Josh. I'll take it. Nothing will come. I'll kill anything that comes. I won't have to breathe. You know, this is easy for me to handle. I could do this. I am convinced I could beat the team over there by myself. Well, what good would it have done my boys? Now, they were losing. I'd call a timeout, and I'd get them in there, and I'd say, Josh, now, they're killing you. Do you understand what you're supposed to do? Yes, Dad. I mean, Coach. Okay. Nothing goes past you. Nothing. Now, you concentrate. You play hard. You just do your best. You're doing fine, but you do your best. Get out there. Nothing can come outside you. And if nothing comes outside you, it'll force it inside, and we'll get them every time. Just, they're a little bit bigger, but you can do this. They were creaming. The winds and the waves were doing it. See, I could have gone out there and done it myself, but he was learning. They all were. They were learning about themselves. They started to know what they do under extreme conditions, a little bit of pain. They were learning about how to deal with this. They were learning about the game, starting to get a grasp. They were growing up, and through the season, they learned how you handled that sort of weight and that kind of equipment, and they began to be able to work together. And when something was a little too large to deal with, how they would start to double team, they began to see it. Now, I could have done it for them. But Jesus puts you out there in that boat because his disciples have to be prepared, because he's going to be with the Father. He's always with them, true, but he's going to be there sitting at the right hand of God, and they need to be out there. They're going to be playing a tough game. And some of you right now are in the storm and you're thinking, well, Jesus, wait. And he's right there. And he could do it for you easy. But you need the character building. You need to grow. You need to begin to learn about yourself. You need to learn about how God works. And you're learning through these things. Well, it was around, between 3 and 6 in the morning. Jesus now is coming out to the boys. How's he doing it? Jesus went unto them walking on the sea, on the water. That's a miracle. Really, I know you think this is a big deal. Try it. Go down to the lake or to the river. Go some to your pool and just really don't put all your weight. But just put your foot down on the water and you tell me what happens. Even if it's like just 6 inches deep, you tell me how hard it is to stay on top of it. Probably your foot will go through the water and will be surrounded by water. Now, in other words, we're talking a miracle. Jesus is walking 3.5 miles out to where he can see the guys are struggling, and he walks out there. I want you to know, Jesus is always there, but the truth is you'll recognize him there at unexpected times and in unexpected ways. Don't put him in a box. You will recognize Jesus at unexpected times. You will recognize him also in very unexpected ways. And he comes walking on the water. That's a miracle. And what happens? When the disciples saw him, it's dark. They're struggling. They're thinking that they're going to go down. And now to add to this more trouble, out there in the distance, John goes, guys, what? I know you're going to think this is weird, but I think there's something out there. John, come on, row. No, look. And they look, and there's something out there walking across the water. What would you think it is? Not Jesus. We left Jesus back there. How's Jesus going to get to us? He's going to walk all the way around, and he's not going to be there till tomorrow sometime. Who is that? What is that? They think it's a ghost. So would you. So would I. We'd be afraid. And that's what it says here. They cried out. They started yelling, help! I think of the Scarecrow and the Tin Man. And they just start yelling help because they don't know what else to do. That's the disciples. Well, straightway, immediately, Jesus spoke unto them. He yelled out from out there, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. It is I. Now that doesn't mean much to you because you read it in your King James and you think, oh, it's I. Who's I? If it was any other I, I'd still be afraid. I mean, if it was you, said it's me, I'd go, oh, great. Yeah, we don't have enough trouble. It's you. Nothing personal. But when you're sinking and you're in deep water and you're in trouble, sometimes, you know, hey, I'll help. Oh, great. But he said something here that should have really reminded you and struck you deeply. And it did the boys. Because the word he uses here is the identical word he uses in John chapter 8. When he was talking about Abraham, the Pharisee said, oh, right, Abraham. You knew Abraham? You're not even 50 years old. And you knew Abraham? And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. That's the identical word here for it is I. He's claiming to be God. Standing out there in the dark, far away from the boat, you can't recognize anything but that there's something or someone out there. It's a spirit. It's got to be a ghost. What else could walk on water? Don't be afraid. I am. Remember the burning bush? He said the same thing. Moses said, who can I tell him? Who can I say sent me? I am has sent me. Jesus was claiming to be God. Don't be afraid. Be of good cheer. Cheer up. It's okay. I'm here with you. It's me. I am. Well, have you ever in your life said something and it came out of your mouth and then you stopped and thought, oh, Lord, where did that come from? I can't believe it. Have you ever done that? Wrong group, huh? Never done that? I do that quite often, especially at church. I know I do that because then I listen to the radio and I go, oh, Lord. How come she didn't take that out of there? How come she didn't edit that? Oh. And then we get the calls. I knew it. I mean, I hear it on the radio. So-and-so is a dope. And then the phone rings. I think, oh, get that, Ray. Peter. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's you, then command me to come out to you on the water. Bid me means to literally order me. Command me. If it's you, Lord, then command me to come out there on the water. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine after that came out of his mouth how he must have... Because Jesus yells back, come on! Oh, no! And I know John and Peter were great friends. John would have said, go ahead, mouth. We're with you, buddy. We'll be praying for you. Go. Oh, would you have stepped out of that boat? You're trying to keep the boat up. You're afraid that if it goes down, you'll die. Would you step out of it? It's the only thing saving you at this moment. Would you step out of that thing? That'd be scary. If it's you, Lord, command me to come out to you. And he said, come on. Come on, Peter, the water's fine. And when Peter came down out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. You know, you hear the teaching that says Peter stepped out of the boat and sank? That's not scriptural. What does the Bible say? He stepped out of the boat and he walked on water. Only two men in all of history ever recorded to walk on water. God, the Son, fully God, fully man, and Peter, who kind of blurted out, if it's you, command me to come out there. Come on. Okay. And he stepped out and he walked on water. That's a miracle. What's he teaching his boys? What's he teaching them when they're out there in that field and things are tough? Trust me. I've got my eye on you. I'm watching you. It's okay. You can count on me. Trust me. Listen to me and trust me. Now, Peter would not have gone out there if Jesus would have said, well, I don't know, Peter. But he said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come out there. Faith says this, whatever God commands me to do with his help, that is what I should do. Whatever I'm commanded to do. It may be a hard, hard thing. He says, forgive. Lord, if that's really you, then command me to forgive. Forgive, Bob. Then you step out and you start walking. And in miraculous obedience, you forgive. Faith says, whatever God commands me to do with His help, that is what I will do. Even if storms arise, even though it may be difficult, that's what I'll do. He'll help me. When I call time out and get those guys around me, they're afraid, they don't understand, I think they're psychologically defeated. I'm there, and what I have to do is tell them, you can go back in there and you can do this, because it's not the weight issue, that's the question. This whole weight issue is not the problem. You think he's too heavy, but that's not it. You know how to do it. You've got to begin to grow in your character and learn. Pay attention to what you're doing, and you'll see that the weight issue will go away. By the end of the season, the weight issue wasn't the problem. It was fundamentals and mistakes that became the problems for the team. The disciples are learning. It's not the size of the storm. That's not the problem. It's where our hearts are. It's what we're learning about. Where are we? Jesus says, come on. And Peter walked out of got out of the boat and walked on the water. How far did he go? He walked away from the boat. Now that's a miracle. You can't walk on water. It can't be done. But he did it. It's a miracle. And he's just staring at Jesus, walking toward Jesus. But when he saw, verse 30, the wind was boisterous. Remember, it is windy. The boat can't go anywhere. He was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. He took his eyes off Jesus, and he looked at those circumstances. And when you and I do, it's too big, it's too much, it's too ugly, it's too painful, it's too scary, it's too everything, and we all of a sudden sink. Does God still love us? Yes, he does. Now here is the greatest prayer one of the greatest prayers you've heard prayed, and it is the shortest prayer recorded in the Bible. And the words are these, Lord, save me. How serious do you think Peter was about it? He's exhausted. He's been going since 7 last night. It's 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. He is worn out. Now he's standing on the water thinking, oh great, Peter, what are you doing? And he went down and he screamed, Lord, save me. Now, if he prayed like some of us pray, listen to this. Oh God, our refuge and our strength, look down with favor upon your servant and grab me. He'd have been 20 feet down by that time. In other words, it's okay, we want to worship and adore God, but there are times when you need to get to the point. Oh Lord, I like my shoes and my socks, and the strings that are on them are great. And God goes, Bob, what's on your mind? He already knows. Listen, when you're in desperate need, the Bible says, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, listen, here is a powerful statement. Ready? Let your request be made known unto God. Tell him what you're talking about. Beating around the bush. I know you don't want, and I know you. Lord, I'm sinking, save me. He just screamed out, Lord, save me. Good prayer. And it was heartfelt. You'll pray that way someday. When you are in a huge storm and you think you're going to go down, you'll drop with all the preliminaries and you will seriously, and so will I, say, Lord, I need you now. Lord, I'm afraid. Lord, I'm going down. Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Lord, help. That's a heartfelt prayer. And what happened? Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught Peter, grabbed him. Peter was close enough. He had walked that far to where he got near Jesus. Lord, save me. Jesus reached out and grabbed him. God is always there. When we coach the kids, we're there. You can believe that we're out there instantly if there even looks like trouble. Or if there looks like one of the kids may be hurt or gonna be. The refs will blow the whistle. Every coach is on the field throwing kids out of the way, and you're there to be sure. Jesus is right there. And he rebukes Peter a little bit. Peter's soaking wet now. Standing on the water with Jesus, kind of, you know. And Jesus says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You took your eyes off me and you looked at how big and ugly everything else was. Oh, ye of little faith." Peter is going to remember this lesson. I'm not surprised that Peter's the one on the day of Pentecost, Spirit-filled, preaches and 3,000 people come to the Lord. Peter is a man of faith. He's been out on the water. When he got back to the boat and got in, wet. Of course, they're all wet. Don't worry. I mean, the wind and the waves. The wind ceased. It calmed down. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Jesus, said, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." They were amazed. You would have thought they thought he was the Son of God when he fed over 10,000 with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You would have thought when he raised somebody from the dead. You would have thought when he touched someone who had leprosy and their leprosy was gone. You would have thought when that man that couldn't walk for his whole life, then Jesus just spoke and that man could walk. You would have thought then they would have said, "You're the Son of God." But still, they were a little bit slow. Nothing like us, praise God, huh? You know, this miracle was only seen by his disciples. Did you know that? Nobody else saw this. What's he trying to teach them? Do what I command you to do. Trust me at all times. You may think that I haven't noticed, but I'm right there. I'm letting these things take place in your life because I want you to see. I want you to understand. I want you to grow. I want your character to be strengthened. I'll use you. And these are the things that are growing you to be used, that are preparing you for bigger tasks. So trust him. Remember, he's there at unexpected times in unexpected ways. Nobody expected him to walk out there and do that. It was a miracle. When you need something from the Lord, yes, praise and worship, of course, but remember, let your request be made known. Tell him. He already knows what you need before you ask him. Tell him, "Lord, I'm afraid. Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, my physical body is hurting. Lord, I don't understand what's going on. And I have some decisions to make. Lord, save me." Remember the psalmist, the simple prayer, "Help me, O Lord, for I am in trouble." That's it. I like that prayer. It covers my life. Doesn't it cover yours? It's an easy prayer to remember. Well, he's in the boat. Can you imagine being in the boat? You got to put yourself in these places. Don't visualize them. Can you imagine you're in the boat? Peter gets back in the boat. And when you get to shore, Jesus is talking to some people. I'd be going over to Peter saying, "Dude, what did that feel like?" What? I mean, standing on the water, what was that like? You'll never know, dummy. Because you were afraid. Can you imagine? You know, there are some Christians, I look at them, and they look at me and they say, "You know, I walked on water in my life. I've walked on water. I was used by God. Did you sink? Yeah, I got soaking wet, thought I was going to drown. He grabbed me and saved me just alive." But how many can say, "I walked on water"? How many of us can say, "I stepped out of the boat because the Lord said do this, and I walked and he held me up"? See, usually we concentrate on Peter sinking. I would too, I'm sure. But the truth is, did he sink? Mm-mm. God didn't let him sink, and he walked on water. I think some of you need to step out of your boat in faith and walk where God has commanded you to only. And then when other people in town say, "That's too big, that you can't," just step out in faith and walk anyway. If God's commanded you to do it, and he'll hold you up. But keep your eyes on him. Don't look around at how big this is, or how much it costs, or how windy it is, and how it's getting too wet. Don't start looking at how ugly the circumstances. You get your eyes off him, you'll sink. He says, "Oh, why did you doubt? You have little faith." When they were gone over, the Bible says they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out unto all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. And they besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Jesus healed thousands upon thousands while he was here
on this earth. He still heals today. Those of you that have been healed by Him, truth is, there is a real healing coming. And that's to stand forever in eternity. See, we keep thinking that this is all there is. And so when we're in pain or when we're suffering or when things are going wrong, we want God to fix it now. You see, when the kids come off the field, they want the coach to tell them something that's going to make this thing work out there instead of just plain sweat. And you'll tell them, you know what you're doing. You know how to do it. You remember. Go ahead. I know you can do it. I'm right with you. Just go ahead and do it. You know, there are times, see, we've got the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know that if God has healed you, that's a blessing. Some of you say, it's not going well and I haven't been completely healed. I want you to know there's a full, true healing coming when you finally stand there forever. If you have been healed and you're completely well, remember, you're still going to die. All of us are. Unless we're raptured, we're going to die. But there is a real, true healing forever and ever to stand with the Lord. This light affliction, this storm that we're in, it may even go all night. You know, 1 year, 2 years, a decade or two. But you know what? It's just but a moment. And in eternity, it works for you a weight of glory. These things, these storms you're in, you're out there rowing for all you're worth, and you think, we're going down. I'm not going to make it. God's watching. He's right there. Don't panic. Trust Him. Do the things He's commanded you to do. Listen to Him. But keep your eyes on Him. Watch Jesus. Don't let your feelings or your mind or the way others are talking to you, don't let that take you off. Keep your eyes on the Lord. You'll walk on water. You'll see miracles. You'll see things happen that people told you couldn't happen. Hang on. He's right there. He loves you. If you're in a storm, God has allowed that storm. It'll build you. It'll strengthen you. It will bring Him glory. Cry out to Him. Let's bow our heads to pray. Lord, when we see that You're there walking on the water, we get a little scared. We don't understand it. It's not something we were expecting. In many ways, You minister and serve. And we weren't expecting it, Lord. I pray for those in the midst of a powerful storm this morning. It's raging. It's just not letting them get to the shore. And they think, Lord, they're going to go down. You said You're right there. We claim Your promise. Take care of them, Lord. Bless them. As we worship You, speak to hearts. We ask You in Jesus' name.